Hi there, I'm Natalie Silverstein. I'm an author, a speaker, a mom of two teens and one emerging adult, and a passionate advocate for family and youth service. While I was researching my second book, Simple Acts, The Busy Teen's Guide to Making a Difference, I learned about so many big-hearted tweens and teens who are volunteering, fundraising, starting nonprofits, and becoming social entrepreneurs and activists. I wanted to hear their stories, and I wanted to celebrate them and share them with the world so that everyone can be as inspired as I am. I hope that after listening to these short episodes, you'll go out into your community and share your light, your talents, gifts, and strengths to help others. Because the truth is, every person can make a big impact, one simple act at a time. As we move into the final days of 2022, I wanted to express how grateful I am to everyone who has listened to this podcast over the last 4 months, and most especially to the absolutely amazing teens and young adults I have had the privilege of interviewing. Every week, I leave these conversations inspired and hopeful with a huge smile on my face, and this week is no exception. As I wrap up the first 16 episodes of my podcast, I'm excited to share this conversation with Maya, a young adult from Colorado who discovered her passion and purpose when she connected with the Seacrest Studios at Children's Hospital Colorado. The studio became her happy place and allowed her to create a platform interviewing people in music, films, television, and pop culture. Maya's optimism, curiosity, and positivity inspired and motivated me to continue to make joyful connections with others in the new year. I hope it will do the same for you. Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome back, everybody. You are in for a treat today. I have the honor and pleasure of introducing you to Maya, and she is going to tell us her story. Hey, Maya, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for taking time to talk with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I've been so excited.
I'm glad. So tell everybody your story. Take us all the way back to when you were a little girl and your diagnosis and what all has gone on in your life.
Yeah. Well, so I'm a metastasized brain tumor survivor. I was diagnosed right before I was 3 years old. So I've spent the majority of my life in and out of hospitals and having surgeries, and had 2.5 years of chemo, and I've had to make lots of accommodations with my life from, you know, all the surgeries and treatments. And halfway through my senior year of high school, I was diagnosed with recurrence of my brain tumor, and I needed further treatment. And so now I'm, you know, living with a brain tumor on close watch, waiting to see if I'll need further treatment. I've listened to your podcast and some of the people you've interviewed, and to be honest, I'm not quite sure where I fit in.
Someone recommended you to me as a person who has stayed really positive with this situation that you were handed in your life, right? And I appreciate that you haven't started a nonprofit or anything like that, right? But you use your platform to amplify this story. I think it is super important for folks to understand that children's cancer is one of the least researched areas of cancer. And that's a real tragedy because it affects so many children. And it should be a much larger piece of the budget in terms of research. And so I know that you amplify, you know, children's cancer research causes. And then I would love for you to tell us a little bit about how you got involved with the Ryan Seacrest Foundation and the work that you enjoy doing, which is interviewing people. And I think that's really amazing. Like, you found something that brings you joy and you like interviewing other people and you're really good at it. And you like sharing stories with others. And I think that's sort of important. I think it's a really wonderful example of resilience and grit. Tell us how you got sort of connected to the work that the Ryan Seacrest Foundation does.
Yeah, they put studios in hospitals with a state-of-the-art equipment. And so when I was 12, the Ryan Seacrest Foundation opened Seacrest Studios at Children's Hospital Colorado. And so I was there that day for an appointment. And so afterwards, we went down to the atrium and I met Ryan Seacrest and discovered my passion.
Which is awesome. So tell us more about that. So what do you do exactly? How do you connect with folks to interview? And then where is this distributed? How might people listen to the interviews that you do?
Yeah, well, when the studio opened, it really became my happy place because before it opened, I was so done with going to the hospital. I was there multiple times a week and I was just sick of it. And so when the studio opened, I was there all the time when I was at the hospital. And so pop culture and movies and TV and music have always been my escape through everything. So it was a natural fit to do a show about pop culture. And then after about a year of my show, I started doing interviews. So I've been doing my show every week since I was 13 and interviews since I was 14. Mm-hmm. And I spend a lot of time doing research for my show and for interviews with the people I'm interviewing. So I usually spend a few hours a week, like going through finding contacts for people and sending and reaching out. And I'm actually about to close out my show once I hit 300 interviews. And
wow.
Right now I'm at 284. So
there's a goal. That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. Well, you know, I love that you, first of all, it shows like sometimes coincidences are not really coincidences, right? You happen to be at the hospital that day. You may have heard about it another day that you went to the hospital. It sounds like you would go to the hospital with frequency, right? When you have to have follow-ups and things. So you would have heard about it eventually, but you happened to be there on a day when it was, you know, it was happening. I don't think there are any coincidences in life, right? You know, so something sort of special and magical was supposed to happen for you to give you this boost, right? To give you something really positive to focus on. I'm still really curious. So you reach out to folks kind of cold? When you reach out to ask if they'd like to be interviewed, do you like DM people on Instagram? Like, that's sort of amazing that you have 280 some on interviews that you've kind of created for yourself. That's fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah, well, I find contacts and I reach out, whether it be like through social media or I have a couple other ways that I find contacts. And so, I mean, you have to like deal with a lot of no's, but then there's also, but then like, because I remember when I first started, when I was trying to get my first interview, I wasn't hearing from anybody. But I kept trying for a couple months and I finally heard back from somebody and then it just kind of went on from there.
Right. It snowballs. I have had a similar experience with this. I started this podcast and I sort of said, hey, does anybody know any teens that are doing cool and interesting things and trying to make an impact on the world? And it was like one here and one there. And now it just starts to snowball. And that's really, you know, that's really wonderful and exciting. There's obviously no lack of people with interesting stories to share that might, you know, inspire somebody else. Do you think that work, that those studios, you know, what do you think what value do you think that brings to kids like yourself, teens, adults like yourself who are in these hospital settings? I mean, it's such an interesting model. You know, I actually interviewed some folks who've done other work in hospital settings and healthcare settings. And there is this sense of like, you want to give people something to hold on to, something to be hopeful about, something exciting to think about that's not related to their treatment, you know? So what do you think that studio has brought to the predominantly, you know, children and young adults who are treated there?
It definitely brings a sense of a distraction and a sense of joy to the hospital. and like to me, and like from a very young age, my mom always showed me and instilled in me that even through the hard times, you can find joy. And so, like, and I think this studio definitely brings joy to the hospital, and it's brought like so much joy to my life, because my joy is doing my show and interviews.
That's amazing. No, you're so right. You know, I think there is this like, oh, can we bring toys? Can we bring books? I don't know. If you give people something to do, something really interesting to do, right? And that's going to the studio and recording a show or interviewing someone. And it's also a life skill. You know, you're learning how to do all of these cool things, you know, as opposed to just like, oh, we're going to do a puzzle today. So how might someone actually listen to your interviews? Are you on YouTube or where does it sort of live?
Yeah. So, the studio, just like everything in the studio just airs in the children's hospital.
Oh, at the hospital. There. Right. Right. Okay.
Yeah. But I do record all my, the studio records all my interviews, and then I upload them to my YouTube channel, and I've actually uploaded a couple of my shows to my channel. And so my channel is Popstar Extraordinaire Maya, and Popstar is two words because I will be honest, I spelled it wrong and then didn't realize that I spelled it wrong until after I'd given it to people. So I was like, you know what? It's my special.
That's exactly right. You just stick to it. Have some conviction with that. Absolutely. You know what, Maya? I always ask folks at the end of our episodes, after they've told me their story and what they're all about, I say, if you had a magic wand and you could solve any problem in the world, and I get a lot of interesting answers on this, but if you had a magic wand, what one thing do you think you would try and solve in the world to make it better?
I know I would fix the hatred and inequality that I see for people of color and different religions and women. And I can't believe that in 2022, we seem to be going backwards. And so I really hope that one day we can get to the point where everyone is actually seen and valued for who they are and given equal opportunities.
Amen. Boy, you couldn't have said that any better, Maya, honestly. Truly, I could not possibly agree with you more that everyone should be treated with dignity and respect. Everyone should be seen and heard, and their gifts should be celebrated. Well, Maya, thanks for mentioning where we can see you. I just wanted to make sure, let us know what your social media is if folks want to follow.
Yeah. So my Instagram is at the latest news with Maya, and my TikTok is the same handle. And then my Twitter is at MSingerPop.
Amazing. Well, Maya, thank you so much for taking time to talk with me today. I think this was a really special episode. I want to maybe publish it right at the new year to give everybody just a good dose of optimism and resilience. You have such a positive, wonderful attitude.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for listening. If you were inspired by what you heard today, please follow, rate, and review. These things really matter. And if you know a tween or a teen who is doing great things in his, her, or their community, send them my way. I'd love to meet them and share their stories with a world that could really use a dose of inspiration right about now. You can get in touch with me through my website, simpleactsguide.com. Until next time, remember to keep eyes, ears, hearts, and minds open to the needs of others, and always be kind.